on this episode of The Every Lee Show, The Fate of the Furious, the 8th film in the Fast and Furious franchise, and it happens right now.
The Everett Lee Show Podcast, a shot of entertainment.
The Fate of the Furious from 2017 was directed by F. Gary Gray, written by Gary Scott Thomas and Chris Morgan. The 8th installment was planned since 2014, and the plot details were first announced in March 2015 when Vin Diesel appeared on Jimmy Kimmel Live and announced the film would be set in New York City. Preparation for the film began immediately before the release of Furious 7, with Diesel, Morgan, and producer Neil H. Moraes re-signing. After setting initial release date the same month, casting took place between April and June. In October, Gray was announced to direct the film in place of James Wan, who had directed the previous installment. Composer Brian Tyler, who had scored the 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 7th installment, returned to compose the score. Principal photography began on March 2016 in locations such as Miami, Havana, Atlanta, Cuba, and New York City. Continuing the franchise tradition of filming around the world with an estimate production budget of up to $270 million is one of the most expensive films ever made. This is the first film of the series since Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift not to star Paul Walker as Brian O'Connor following his death in November of 2013. The Fate of the Furious premiered in Berlin on April 4, 2017 and was theatrically released in the conventional and IMAX theaters in the United States on April 14th by Universal Pictures. It received mixed and positive reviews from critics, with praises from the performance of the cast and action sequences, but criticism for the storyline. The film was a box office success, grossing over $1.2 billion worldwide, making it the 19th film and the 2nd of the franchise after Furious 7 to gross over $1 billion, third highest grossing film of 2017, and the 11th highest grossing film of all time at the time. It also grossed $541.9 million worldwide during its opening weekend, which made it the highest grossing worldwide opening at all time until its release of Avengers Infinity War in 2018. The sequel F9 was released in June 2021. So, this is going to be the first film here where we don't have Brian O'Connor. We don't have Mia. So we don't have Brian and Mia Toretto in this. So you pretty much, you got Dominic Toretto, you got Letty, you got Tesh, you got Rome, you got Ramsey as your five all around. And of course, we can't forget Hobbs, you know. So there you go. You have that right there. And of course, Mr. Nobody comes back, makes an appearance. And of course, you have new cast members in this movie here. You have you have Cypher, who's played by Charlize Theron. You also have Little Nobody, played by Scott Eastwood, Clint Eastwood's son. And you pretty much, that's the new cast members there. And that Irish dude with the beard from Game of Thrones. I forget his name. I'm not going to look up his name because I probably can't pronounce it. But if you're a Game of Thrones fan, you know what I'm talking about. You're talking about the one wildling from up, you know, past the wall up north somewhere. So, you know what I'm talking about if you're a Game of Thrones fan. So, in this one, pretty much the story in this one is now Dom and Letty are on their honeymoon, and Brian and Mia have retired from the game. The rest of the crew have been exonerated, and Globetrotting team has found a semblance of normal life. But when a mysterious woman seduces Dom into the world of crime, he can't seem to escape, and a betrayal of those closest to him. They will face trials that will test them as never before. From the shores of Cuba and the streets of New York to the icy plains off the Arctic Barents Sea, the elite force will crisscross the globe to stop an anarchist from unleashing chaos on the world's stage and bring home the man who made them a family. So, I've talked about a person, a villain, here in the last few Fast and Furious podcasts I've done here in the last month or so. I talked about someone who was in the back, in the shadows, pulling strings on stuff that happened. You can say, if you start from the fourth film, and you don't really count the fifth film, just say the fourth, sixth, and seventh. Okay. And with this one here, these four films, the four, sixth, seventh, and the eighth. Okay. You have Cypher. Cypher has been one of those villains that's been in the background pulling strings. She had Owen Shaw doing stuff, and Owen Shaw was connected to her, because a lot of the stuff that Owen Shaw did in the sixth film was Cypher was the one pulling the strings there. And of course, if you look at the villainy from the fourth to the eighth, there you go, right there, Cypher. She's the one in the background hiding, pulling the strings, having people do her work for her. Look at Braga, Owen Shaw. Okay. Braga, Shaw. I mean, let's throw the villain in from the fifth one, because it starts from the bottom and goes all the way up to the top. She's global, man. This, no one knows who the hell she is. Like Ramsey says, when they find out who Cypher is, she thought this was a organization, not a person. Cypher decides to go after Dom for fucking up her plans for like the last few films. So it's like, you need something done, you might as well do it yourself. And she pretty much holds him against his will. It's like, you're gonna do this because I have something on you. I remember people like, is it Brian? Is it Mia? Nah, it's what's her name? I just was looking right at her name right here. Elena. Elena was pregnant with Dom's child, and she finally tells Dom, look, you know, back in the sixth film, you got me pregnant. I had your son. And she's holding him, her hostage with her son. And she's pretty much like, you're gonna do what I say. She has his balls on the glass jar. He steps out. He's gonna kill the mother and his son. What a cruel bitch, man. I hated her in this film, man. I freaking hated her. I did. I couldn't stand her. I'm getting mad talking about her. She played her villain so damn well. I couldn't freaking stand her. I was hoping someone would shove a missile up her ass sideways with a smile on her face. Serious. I couldn't stand this character, and I was glad when the person did what they did, when the person took out Elena. I was so glad. I was like, oh yeah, when Dom got a hold of that dude and broke his neck. Yeah, I was satisfied. I was glad. But funny thing is, if you remember the seventh film, I probably didn't mention this in the last podcast, but Hobbs ends up putting Decker Shaw away, and with the actions of Dom turning rogue, it left Hobbs where he got arrested in Berlin. He was thrown in the same jail as Shaw and Decker Shaw, and this starts the, you know, the odd couple pairing and stuff. So Mr. Nobody gets him out and gets them both out, Shaw and Hobbs, and they got to work together with the rest of the team who don't trust Shaw to bring in Dom. And it's some great stuff there. My favorite part is when they get in the jail cell and Shaw is just nagging Hobbs on him, and he's like, "You're never gonna get out of here." He's like, "Keep talking." He's like, "You're never gonna get out of here," and he's like, "When I do, I'm gonna beat you like a Cherokee drum." Just, I love that stuff, man. I love the interaction they have between each other. And of course, Tesh and Rome, their interaction with each other, trying, still fighting over the infection of Ramsey, which I thought was great. But it was there. This film was fun. It was fun, and it was neat seeing a little bit of things here and there that happened. I liked the beginning of the movie with the race in Havana, Cuba, which I thought was great. I thought it was great. I like the how everyone took a shit on Little Nobody, Scott Eastwood's character, which was great. I know people had a problem with that. They're like, "They brought him in. He's going to replace Brian O'Connor. You can't do that." He's playing a different character. He's not going to replace him. There's no one going to replace Brian or Paul Walker. I mean, it's just people on social media, you know. It's like, get over it, man. Get over yourself, you fucking pansy. But besides that, it just, this movie had some good moments and some bad moments. It's fun. For me, this movie was fun all around, but it felt different. They mentioned Brian and Mia once, but they didn't want to bring them in this, so that's where they get mentioned, they get name dropped. But Paul Walker's character, Brian O'Connor, used to drive Japanese imports. His replacement, Little Nobody, not his replacement, who was his close friend in real life, also drives these type of cars in the movie. This indicates a tribute to the late Paul Walker from Scott, as these types of cars were his favorite in the Fast and Furious films, as Brian O'Connor and in real life. This is going to be long, but check this out. Now, this right here, I want to throw this in here, because there was some tension between Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel in this film. They shot scenes together, but not together, if that makes sense. They shot scenes separate because Dwayne Johnson did not like how Vin Diesel handled himself with production and time and stuff. But he's an executive producer on the film. I don't know what exactly went down, but these guys... Dwayne does not like Vin Diesel by this time, by this film. A week before filming ended, Dwayne Johnson posted an infamous message on Instagram confirming that the production had endured its share of on-set frictions. Quote, "This is my final week of shooting, #FastandFurious8. There is no other series that gets my blood boiling more than this one. An incredible, hard-working crew. Universal has been great partners as well. My female co-stars, always amazing, and I love them. My male co-stars, however, are a different story. Some conduct themselves as stand-up men and true professionals, while others don't. The ones that don't are too chicken shit to do anything about it anyway. Candy asses. When you watch this movie next April, it seems like I'm not acting in some of these scenes and my blood is legit boiling. You're right. Bottom line, it is great to play the movie and it fits this Hobbs character that enabled in my DNA extremely well. The producer in me is happy about this part. Final weeks on Fast 8, and I'll finish strong. Hashtag Iceman Cometh. Hashtag F8. Hashtag Zero Tolerance for Candy Asses. The post came after co-star and executive producer Vin Diesel reportedly canceled some of Johnson's planned scenes at the last minute. On several occasions, Diesel had also reportedly refused to show up on set as he was scheduled, leaving hundreds of cast and crew and extras waiting on the set for him for more than 6 hours. Diesel confronted Johnson in a secret meeting one day after Dwayne's message was posted online. Johnson later told The Hollywood Reporter that the meeting cleared up a few things. He confirmed that he and Diesel did not shoot scenes together because of, quote, a fundamental differences in philosophies and how we approach filmmaking and collaborating, end quote. But he was, quote, grateful for the clarity. Although he did not provide details, it was later revealed that the announcement of Johnson's spinoff movie, Fast and Furious Presents Hobbs and Shaw, was one of the main reasons for Diesel's behavior, as it would split up the series and delay Fast 9, the Fast Saga. Johnson said that he would probably pass on Fast and Furious 9, but wished Diesel, quote, all the best, and I harbor no ill will there, just because of the clarity we have. Actually, you can ease that last part about no ill will. We'll just keep it with clarity. So they had some friction, and I know for the 10th one, which would be coming out sometime, you know, it's coming out in May, that he wanted Hobbs, the character Hobbs, come back to finish this, and Johnson said, nope, not coming back, I'm done. So he pretty much was done with this. But when Mr. Nobody explains the top 10 most wanted list, and at Rome was number 11, he says people in the room are number 6, 8, and 10, and the missing 7 is a tribute to Paul Walker, who died during production of Furious 7. His character, Brian O'Connor, is now out of the line. When the crew is shown in the garage of all the cars, including the army tank, you could see Paul Walker's GTR that his character drove in Furious 7 up on the top of the 3-tier car rack, a subtle tribute to the late actor. In one of the arguments between Hobbs and Shaw, Dwayne Johnson decided to ad-lib and come up with the line about knocking Shaw's teeth so down his throat he'll need to stick a toothbrush up his ass to brush them. Great line. Jason's statement was so unused by the ad-lib that he broke character and started laughing. That's the take that was used in the film. Hobbs has offered his job back, but after 16 years, he'd rather take a break. The original Fast and Furious released 16 years before the release of this movie. While backstage at the 2015 Movie Awards, MTV Movie Awards, wait, MTV still has Movie Awards by this time? No, why? I'm out of touch, man. they still got the... Do they still got the MTV Movie Awards? Really? No. No way. MTV don't even play music videos anymore. Or what, movie awards? They, who the hell watches that shit? Like I was saying, Vin Diesel hinted in an interview that this movie would be set in New York City. He stated that Furious 7 was for Paul and the Fate of Furious will be for from Paul. But before his tragic death, Paul Walker told Diesel that Furious 8 was guaranteed to be made. Diesel retrained the dedication in numerous other interviews while promoting this movie. This explains why the beginning of the movie opens with a street race, paying homage to the first two movies of the series with opening scenes containing street races involving Paul Walker's character. Which makes sense. I mean, right? Okay. Yeah. Talking to producer. Let's see. Despite the considerable portion of this movie being set in New York, the only actual filming that took place was for the second unit B-roll footage. Only pictured cars were used for these scenes, and none lead actors, actresses were present for filming. All the actual action sequences set there were filmed in Cleveland or Atlanta, given the logistics in possibility of closing down major streets in Manhattan for any extended length of time. When Hobbs is taken into prison, Deckard Shaw taunts him by saying he's the one that needs to dig through 38 feet of concrete, or so I'm told. The person who told him that was Hobbs at the end of Furious 7. So this is the first major Hollywood blockbuster to film in Cuba since the 1950s. Nice. There has been rumors of there were supposed to be a scene in the end credits that set up the spinoff movie between Deckard Shaw and Luke Hobbs, but it was cut by Vin Diesel. So the coordinates 34 1 38 1 north in 118.3534 west. That comes up right before the Red Dragon soccer scene that actually the coordinates for Universal Studios theme park in Los Angeles. Vin Diesel and Ludacris post on their Instagram account an image from this movie with the backdrop of New York City, the first time the series has visited New York City. It was talked about in, I think, Fast and Furious, the first one, that they wanted to set the, they were going to set the movie in New York, but they ended up setting the scene and the background for the movie in LA. So. At one point in this movie, Deckard Shaw calls Hobbs Hercules in reference to Hercules 2014, in which Johnson starred as the title character. So, there's a lot for this one. Despite the plot being perfectly set up for a sequel, there are no scenes during or after the credits, despite this happening in previous films in the series. All in all, Fast and Furious, this one right here, The Fate of the Furious, there was some good twist in it where Diesel went to talk to Owen and Deckard Shaw's mother for help, and with that big plot twist there to where basically they hijacked the Cypher's plane to free his son, which I thought was great. It was a great fun scene. And at the end of the movie when they're in Antarctica with the ice and the submarine, I thought that was fun. That was my favorite part, actually. I thought was ridiculously, stupidly insane in a good way was when Cypher hacked all the cars and were sending them after that limo to get those launch codes for that submarine, which I thought was ridiculous. This is why I say computer chips do not need to be in cars, automobiles, trucks. Okay? They don't need it. They don't need it. This is why right here, fiction can become reality. Just like now you can lock and unlock your car with your cell phone. Come on now. Really? People don't think of, you know, smart shit. There's always someone going out there. Yeah, my car got stolen. Oh, it did? Yeah.
Someone hacked my phone and they started my car and took off with it.
Well, you know what? You shouldn't have been a high functioning. I'm not even going to finish what I'm saying, but, you know. All in all, Fast and the Fate of the Furious. It was good. It was fun. I sticking with fun. Out of all the rest of the movies up to this point, 3 and 8 were the funnest. 3 and 8 were the funnest. And it was hard to continue this one. I mean, you don't have Brian O'Connor, but besides that, I enjoyed this one. How fun it was. How ridiculous. Over the top. All the other ones were. Even this one. In the next podcast, when I talk about F9, the Fast Saga, we're going to talk about more over the top shit. So, I have nothing else to add to this. I want to thank everyone for downloading the audio portion of this podcast and viewing the video portion of this podcast. Everly signing off. Thank you. Have a good week, night, day. And we'll see you next time for another new episode of The Everly Show. Peace.
Follow The Everly Show on the following social media platforms. Facebook, The Everly Show. Twitter, at the Everett _ Lee. Instagram, Everett Lee. Subscribe, follow, The Everett Lee Show, on the following platforms. Anchor.fm/Everett Lee Show. YouTube, Everett Lee. And Johnners Podcast Network, WrestlingWithJohnners.com.